Hi, I'm Rick Knight. I'm a retired senior criminal investigator with the U.S. Marshals Service, and you're listening to the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast, a place to gab with people rocking it in green. Green homes, green living, green companies. Join Marla Esser-Close, green home coach and author of Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices to a Better Home, and Tony Pratt, the director of builder relations at The Sound Room. Here are your hosts, Marla and Tony.
You are listening to the Green Gab Podcast. This is Marla Esser-Close, the green home coach, and I am gabbing today with Wister Wood from WegoWise. And I want to hear you say that fast three times, Wister.
That is a lot of W's, isn't it?
I love it. How are you today?
I am great. How are you?
I am at my very happiest when I get to do this.
Great. Pleasure to join you today.
When we were talking earlier, getting set up for this, you told me what WegoWise stands for. And I really would like to share that with our listeners because WegoWise is a pretty different concept. So tell me what it stands for, and then we'll dive in a little bit about you and WegoWise.
Sure. And I'll help you remember the name. WeGo, that stands for water, electric, gas, oil. We're tracking, collecting utility data, and those are the four main utilities on properties that we're collecting. And we're doing it wisely, so therefore the name WegoWise.
I like that.
Yeah.
And you know, big data is where it's all at. We are really starting to learn a lot from big data. Is that what we're getting from what WegoWise is helping to collect?
Definitely. Collecting this kind of data is cost effective, and it hadn't been in the past. And now to do the analytics and really derive actionable conclusions from that data is something that you can do easily with computing power. And so all of a sudden, you can use this big data and you can make smarter, better decisions in a cost effective way. And okay. Really, that's where WegoWise came from. And we started this 8 years ago, and that was years ahead of anyone else really even thinking about this. But this is absolutely an aspect of big data and how it applies to real estate.
What are your places where you are used most frequently? You target some specific kinds of buildings, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, that's right. We target multifamily buildings. Having said that, our software can be used for any kind of property, and it is used by almost every kind of property. But simply, we're plugging in and automatically collecting the data from your utility meters, and they tend to be your WeGo meters. There are others, of course.
Okay.
And we're collecting them as frequently as the utility is reporting them, so that tends to be monthly. And we chose multifamily for a number of reasons, but I think most simply, when it comes to collecting the big data and comparing the performance of one property against a peer group, the commodity aspect of an apartment made those comparisons really relevant and more appropriate than if you were trying to compare one store to other stores in a shopping center or one office space to others in an office building. It wasn't quite so relevant. This software works like a charm with a multifamily space.
So what makes it so magical with the multifamilies?
They tend to be quite similar. They house a handful of units. It might be 10 units. It might be 1,000 units, but typically, there is a common area that is heated and it's lit. There's a parking area that is lit. And their common characteristics there mean that the data that you're deriving has some similarity. And so it creates a relevant basis of comparison. So it's quite easy to tell if you're more efficient or less efficient by some percentage, because there are standards and norms that are quite customary for this product type.
So why is collecting all this information so important?
Well,
and analyzing it, I guess.
That's a good question. And until you see your data, you may not even appreciate how important it is. But some people are incredibly inefficient with how they're using their energy and how they're using their water. And that's not even obvious to them. If it's not an expensive utility bill, they may not even be aware of it because it's not costing them very much money. We collect this data and we establish benchmarks and norms. And once you compare your performance to those norms and you realize that you're heating a space much more than your peer group, or you're using far more water than your peer group, it all of a sudden just jumps at you. And this software has all kinds of great visuals to make it readily apparent just by looking at bar charts and line graphs as to how you're performing relative to other comparable properties.
So is the biggest thing that a lot of folks find out is that they're just wasting a lot?
Yes. And we have cases where in their most extreme, we have buildings on the top of a hill with a beautiful little pond down below. No one thought twice of the pond. And then they realized years later, they had a leak in their water main. And
that pond
was paid for with water that you buy.
Oh.
When they came on our system and they started to look at their usage, it wasn't so much their usage year over year that got their attention, but it was their usage relative to a peer group. Why is my water usage 10 times higher than our competitors? I have a leak. Never knew it.
Okay. And that right there paid many times over for their investment, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. That one just kind of blows my mind.
Yeah. And that was a real case that we had.
But you know, they say that the best way to spot a water leak is look at your bills.
Absolutely. And people don't. They might think that they're looking at their bills, but they aren't. There's all kinds of aberrations in your bills. There are all kinds of spikes that occur. Sometimes it's as mundane as the metering company not reading your meter accurately. Literally, they come out and read your water meter and they misread it. And you're getting sent a bill and it's too high or too low because of human error. Other cases, you will get spiking activity, or in the worst cases, you'll get leaking. We had another customer with a newly built mid-rise apartment project in Massachusetts, and the gas line on the roof ruptured. And they were leaking gas for 3 months. The excess cost to them was $55,000. And
$55,000?
Over 3 months. They hadn't noticed it. Big company paying a lot of bills, and no one was paying attention to that difference. And then it caught their attention, and they went back and looked at the data. And with our help, we actually got somebody out on site, and they verified that it indeed was a gas leak. Now, imagine that gas leak inside the envelope of the building would have been really dangerous.
But yeah.
Fortunately, that was outside on the roof, but still a big error. That utility was under warranty, and the utility came in and made that repair at no charge. And they were rebated for their loss.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing these are kind of extreme cases. And
yes.
The landlords and property managers use the software?
Yep. It's typically bought by the owner. And typically we train the property managers, the ones that are on site. And the property managers are the ones that become the experts using it and reading the data. It's the owners that really get the benefit of the cost savings.
And what are the benefits to the residents?
Glad you brought that up. We have a lot of multifamily residents that really care about energy consumption. They care about water consumption. And there are some property management firms that you'll see advertise themselves as being particularly sustainability conscious. And they're doing that. They're doing that because the customers are responding to that. I would say, generally speaking, this millennial generation is really tuned into this. And you'll see that they are making their renting decisions not only on the amount of rent they're paying, the amount of utilities they're paying, and also they're looking at how sustainable that manager is. And if they are walking the walk and really pursuing green practices, it makes that community more desirable to live in.
So how are a lot of the property managers, landlords, and owners, how are they talking about what they're doing, for instance, with WegoWise? Is that part of their sustainability message?
It's very interesting how different managers differentiate themselves. And I'm surprised at how few don't emphasize being green. And when I say being green, I mean pursuing sustainable practices. You will see some, but they tend to be the minority. But I'll tell you that the millennial generation really does respond to this. They care about these practices being implemented by their landlords. And the ones that promote this, and you see it with signs around the property, you'll see it in the annual reports of the publicly traded companies. I'm not going to name any names, but you know, some clearly are positioning themselves this way. It is striking a responsive chord among the renters. I think something that you and your listeners should think about is really pressing your landlords and asking them, how are you managing your energy consumption? How are you managing your water consumption? There are practices you could be employing that would make us more efficient. And I'd like to see if you're tracking that. Are you keeping up and measuring exactly what you're consuming?
Yeah. And I think asking those questions is what's starting to happen more and more. I think there's more people that are realizing that there is choice. I went to a presentation years ago. I think it was back Gen X. That's what, generation that's in their 40s and stuff, 40s, yep. And early 50s now?
They've been in their 40s.
But I remember him saying it was because that was really the generation that brought in casual business dress. And it started with the youngest group in the workforce. And then it started bleeding up into the older workforce, the older segments of the workforce. And I think that trending happens with an awful lot of things. And I'm seeing that to some degree with green and sustainability. Although, interestingly enough, you know, two thoughts. One, economic decisions, as much as we as individuals want to make economic decisions, we end up making emotional decisions. But as a business entity, we're much better at making those economic and more data-backed decisions. So, you know, there's this opportunity to appeal both ways, right? Mm-hmm. One to the heart, one to the head. And I think a lot of, because I've worked with some multifamily projects on green certifications, and like you, I'm always astounded at how much they don't sell the green features. And the fact that they're green certified property. And some of these are in areas where the millennials are driving the boat really strongly and big money. I mean, expensive mm-hmm. apartments.
Yes.
And they're not tooting the horn. And I'm like, I don't get that. And it's not that hard to talk about the benefits.
Well, there are a couple of things that are going on, and maybe they're not quite so obvious. One is the materials being used and the systems being installed in new construction. And mm-hmm. today's multifamily building is as energy efficient as ever. And that's double pane glass, and it's the really highly efficient gas-fired heating systems. It's the use of solar arrays on the roof. These are things that are being employed more and more frequently. And it's so that today's new construction building is highly efficient. Another development that just came about in the last month or two is that California has imposed a requirement that all new construction residential in the state of California includes solar panels. I'm not quite sure how that's going to be enforced rules and regs are going to be, but I think it's a really great step forward that an entire state said, we care enough about this that new construction is going to include some component of solar.
Yeah. I just heard that Colorado or Denver just passed something similar for buildings that I'm going to have to go look it up. I think it was buildings that were 15 years old or less or newer, but there was a component for renewable energy that was going to be required on these buildings. So you're right. I mean, cities are starting to get it, and I'm seeing an increasing number of cities track their data and understand how they can contribute to the health and the well-being of their citizens. And actually, that's probably a big contribution that you guys are making. But hold that thought a second. Let's take a quick break just so we have a moment, and we'll come right back in.
Wouldn't it be cool if your advertising could last forever? It can with perpetual advertising. Here's how it works. Unlike TV or radio ads, where every instance the ads are broadcast, they're only played once and lost forever. Perpetual advertising can have repeat exposure and replayability weeks, months, and even years after they're inserted in a podcast. So even if a podcast is a few years old, your ads will still be impactful to repeat listeners as well as new listeners. This gives your advertising dollar the most bang for the buck. Find out more about perpetual advertising at twoguystalking.com/sponsors.
You can try and learn about voiceover all by yourself. Or you can get you and your voice to school. Check out Voice Farmers VoiceOver Academy today and learn how you can make money with your voice. It's all available over at voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
Check out the book, Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices for a Better Home, to make simple changes to buying habits that affect a home both inside and out. Marla Esser-Close shows consumers ways to make any home a green home. Get the book now at livinggreenbook.com. That's livinggreenbook.com.
So we're back, Gavin, on Green Gab with Krista Wood of LeaderWise. And I loved where we were talking right before the break, that we've had this opportunity to help building owners, in particular multifamily building owners, really grasp that they've got something going here with sustainability and green, but they got to get the message out. So how does WeGoWise help them do that?
Our mantra is that you really can't manage it unless you measure it. And that's what our software is doing, is we're measuring what your energy and water consumption numbers are. And based on that, you can take action. You believe that you're inefficient or less efficient than you could be, you're taking action on it. That's really the role we play, is that we're shining a light on this issue. We're pointing out to owners where they are grossly inefficient, or we're checking the box for them that they're actually highly efficient. But it starts with that information. I know that these consumers care about this. I know there's dialogue between residents and landlords about this issue. And I think that that starts with this younger millennial generation. And I think that you're gonna see more and more landlords really react to that. And you know, one of the visions that I have, and I don't think this will be anything uncommon in 5 years' time, is that you look at these apartment buildings today with the plasma screen down in the lobby, and if it's a new urban project, it's probably got the train schedule on it and the bus schedule and the subway schedule.
The bike racks.
It's got the bike racks. It's going to tell you what the weather forecast is for the next 3 days. And it's going to tell you, you know, the Starbucks coffee is brewing and available for free in the common area. But the plasma screen really becomes the communication between the landlord and the resident. And it's got everything that you care about up to the second, literally subway line, which is outside your front door, the train's arriving, and it will be at the station in 60 seconds. And you can schedule your day based on reading that screen. And I think that those screens are going to start to track energy and water consumption. I think this is going to be the place where landlord's going to communicate to the residents, this is how much we have consumed at this property, and this is how that compares to prior months and prior years, and this is how we compare to comparable properties in the neighborhood. And I think that's going to come about because of resident demand.
So WegoWise is really only for the things that are in common, so the things that the landlord buys. So for most apartments, the individual units would be on their own meter and not part of the WegoWise data? Or does it just, I guess you have both instances, don't you?
We do. I mean, the technology is very simple. We track the readings on a particular meter. Okay. The way multifamily buildings are designed, the electric meters are almost always individual meters to a resident unit. And so typically when we sell a service to a landlord, they buy the landlord paid meters.
Okay.
So they're paying for the common area heating and the common area electricity. And it's unusual that we'd see a landlord actually pay for the individual meters of the residents' units. However, we do have a number of customers that do that, and we actually have a number of situations where it's required.
Really?
Something we can get into later, but this whole notion of green financing, where you can borrow at a lower interest rate because loans are being offered by HUD and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and you are obligated to comply with this loan by reporting your energy and water usage, and you need to report the usage of your resident units as well as your common areas. And that requires metering at the resident level.
So are you seeing a lot more instances of green financing?
We are. This has been a really interesting trend. It's been available for maybe 5 years, but it's really accelerated in the last 1 or 2 years. These are all government sponsored. This is the government driving this. They want us to be more energy efficient, and they're motivating landlords to be more energy efficient by lowering the interest rate on the loans that they can get. And there are really two criteria to qualify for these loans. One, your building is already energy efficient, as measured by some sort of third-party scoring system like an Energy Star score. And the other is pledging to do some sort of retrofit on your property that will improve the efficiency of a particular utility. And that could be energy, that could be water. And so if you pass on one of those two criteria, you are complying with that particular loan. Again, these are all government sponsored. These are HUD and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that are offering these discounted loans. They're incredibly popular. And I would tell you that the amount of lending you're seeing here, this might be increasing the production of Fannie and Freddie by a really large percentage. Maybe 50% increase over what they were doing normally has been generated by the demand for these loans. So they're really getting a lot of attention. A lot of people are taking them. They're learning as they go as to what the requirements are to comply. People jump at a low interest rate loan and then they figure out later what's in the small print. Yeah. And it gets very complicated because when you need to report the usage of your entire property, it's called whole building data. you need to report out what your usage is at the resident level collectively, not a particular unit, but collectively on average, what is the usage of these particular apartment units? And so that's an obligation. That data is difficult to collect, and that's one of the services that we offer.
Gotcha. So you help to meet the criteria so that people can get these better loans for the green financing to improve their buildings.
That's right.
I gotcha. Does that work for new construction as well, or just for improvements?
It does, and the government is really tweaking the program to serve its purposes. Originally, it was offering the same discount for an energy-efficient building as for an older building that is to be retrofitted.
Okay.
But they found they were rewarding some of the larger apartment owners that were building state-of-the-art projects. And that really wasn't the reward mechanism they were after. They were after rewarding people for taking it upon themselves to get more efficient.
Yeah.
And so the discounted interest rate on a newly built efficient building is not the same discounted interest rate you would get if you take an older inefficient building and retrofit it. That's appropriate. It makes sense. And it took them a year or two to start to modify the varying interest rates that they're offering. But that's how they're now modifying that reward mechanism.
Well, and I know there's companies that specialize, because I've run into some of them at some of the conferences I go to. And that's where I met you guys actually years ago. But I know there's companies that specialize in helping multifamily buildings to tune up their energy, their water, and their utilities. And some of them will work on recycling programs and resident engagement programs. So I know there's a whole bunch of work going on in that, because we've got a lot of old buildings out there that need to be tuned up.
We sure
and
do.
Most of them aren't going to be torn down, you know, because we need places to live.
That's right. And there's a whole industry out there of engineering firms. We often refer to them as energy service providers. And these are retrofit consultants that really understand replacing systems with an eye towards energy efficiency.
Okay.
And these groups are very good at coming in and assessing a situation and making a recommendation. And for them, it's a nice partnership for us, because they need software to diagnose what the problems are and then to track the performance of the correction. And so we work hand in hand with a lot of these energy service providers around the country.
Well, that makes sense. It's like anything else, right? You don't know what you don't know, and then you got to figure it out. So you got to baseline it, and then you got to track it.
That's exactly right.
I mean, that works for everything from a fitness plan to a fitness plan for your home or your unit or your building.
And you'd be so surprised how you might buy the best equipment, but if it isn't calibrated correctly and it starts running off course, you can be running very inefficiently with state-of-the-art systems because it simply wasn't calibrated correctly. And so we have some relationships with folks that call themselves building therapists. And they come in and they diagnose the problem, and it's just a matter of tweaking a meter or a dial here and there and getting it recalibrated the way it was supposed to be. These are complex.
Is that the nicer name for building commissioning?
Yes, it is.
Building therapists. I love that. Oh my gosh. Yep. We were just talking about commissioning yesterday, and I was like, that's just such a strong sounding word.
Therapy.
I like building therapists a lot.
Much better.
That's great.
But you know, you have this interesting clash of old school and new school, that being a superintendent of an apartment building, that is an old trade. And these folks have stayed with their buildings for decades, and they are wearing their tool belt, and they know every nook and cranny of a building, but they may not know the state-of-the-art systems that are being installed. Then you've got these new systems being put in their properties under their watch, and they're expected to have all the sufficient training to manage and operate these systems. And the reality is, without proper training, they just don't know. And so oftentimes you get a management team not properly trained that can manage the ongoing operations of these new systems.
Okay, I want to come back to this whole idea of training, but let's, believe it or not, it's already time for a quick breather. So hang tight, folks. We'll be right back.
When it comes to security and law enforcement procedures, there's no such thing as too much information. Come get your free helping of free field training from me, Officer Tommy Model, now at freefieldtraining.com. That's freefieldtraining.com.
Editing podcasts can be, rough. Everyone knows that you'll spend at least double the time you use creating the podcast when editing it. Then there's the control freak factor and the gotta get it right the first time factor, and, well, It's time to shove all that out the door and make your podcast soar with the Editor Corps. The Editor Corps is a talented, experienced team of podcast editors that have edited tens of thousands of hours of podcast content, and they're ready for yours now. Check out EditorCorps.com because it's time to make your podcast soar. EditorCorps.com. That's EditorCorps.com.
The Two Guys Talking Podcast Bug, a truly original autonomous mobile recording solution. Get bit by the podcast bug. www.podcastbug.com.
This is a great gab today. Wester, I am just like so on target with this conversation because I kind of got my start in really the owner and homeowner training and education piece. So you are just totally talking my language. But you're so spot on, because one of the very things I've learned is that, you know, we all want all this great stuff, but we don't want to take the time to learn how to operate it. And like, if you had a Maserati, would you not learn how to drive it? Because you're going to drive a Maserati different than you're going to drive a Honda. And yeah, so that one's hard. But I think we ever ourselves talked into the fact that we live these really complicated lives and that we can't do all that. And we've got ourselves talked into this big story. I kind of call it on the carpet, but I think a lot of times we use that as an excuse not to do some basic things. But the cool thing is, and I don't know if you're seeing some of the apartment owners that you're working with do this, is, you know, getting people to change their behavior is really hard, right?
And it is, yes.
You can have the most perfect building in the world, but if you don't live in it and take care of it and operate it and maintain it, it doesn't work. It's like you don't put gasoline in a car, it doesn't run. Unless it's electric. That's another story. But we've got ourselves convinced that we can't do this. So the behavior piece is a big part of it, I'm finding, and I'm sure you guys do too. But I think what's kind of cool is that technology is actually giving us an opportunity now with all the automation and the controlled homes and the controlled technology that we can kind of set it and go. And I don't know if that's helping your clients or if you're starting to see some of them implement some of that technology to help.
Things like the Nest technology.
That was my first entrance into smart home technology for myself personally, yes, was Nest. And I don't have one now and I miss it. but yeah, that and all the app controls and just the opportunity to help people understand, you know, maybe they put occupancy sensors in the units so that lights go out, or automatic timers on bath fans, you know, just things that help us to behave better when we don't.
I think there's great technology coming now, the Internet of Things, as they generally call it. It's not really the business that WegoWise is in, but we certainly run into these vendors and we talk to them all the time about possible partnerships. But the notion of being able to lock your door remotely, to turn your lights on and off remotely, to turn on your heat, to turn down your heat, all really smart technologies that probably won't be abused, as you had suggested early in that monologue. But as you replace some building systems, which is very much the space that we're in, and you are replacing a central boiler for a high-rise apartment project or a steam plant maybe in one of these older cities, if you aren't maintaining and operating that per the guidelines, the specs, the operating manual, which are highly complex, you can really misoperate the state-of-the-art equipment and not get the efficiency output that you thought that you were buying. And that kind of technology has to go hand in hand with proper training. There's no question about it. The IoT, the handheld apps to turn thermostats up and down, a different issue. And I don't think that that is really a training issue so much. When that stuff gets implemented and is cost-effective, I think that's going to be, you know, tremendous improvements on efficiency. But what we're seeing today on you know, the guts of a building, there is a disconnect there for sure.
Training's a hard one because you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Yeah. I mean, one concept we have is for people to reduce water usage. This is very simple, but I'll tell you what the empirical data tells us. You can put a low flow fixture in your unit. Let's say it's a low flow shower head. Okay. And everybody likes a shower, a long shower with good water pressure. You put a low flow fixture on in these apartments, and what do the residents end up doing? They take longer showers. And what happens to the water usage? It climbs. It doesn't drop. And so you think you have a solution to the problem, putting a low flow fixture in place, but you actually get the opposite outcome. You get higher usage, not lower usage. That kind of thing, you need to think through human nature and understand how that technology is going to be used before you install it, because sometimes it will backfire on you.
Okay, so I'm gonna offer an alternative way to think about that, because I've had this conversation with some friends and some members of my families that are like, I want my full shower. But I also have challenged them to try out some of the newer technologies that have come out in the last couple of years, because the technology has improved dramatically. Mm-hmm. And you can get a really good low flow shower now that has great pressure, whereas like 5 years ago, you couldn't. And some of these ultra low ones are, they're questionable. I get that. And I wonder if that happens in some of these buildings, is they may not test them out before they install them and they don't know what they're getting. And then you're right, it backfires.
You know, these things are designed by engineers. They aren't necessarily, marketers or psychologists that understand human nature. But
well, I have a favorite, and I won't mention it on the air, but I have a line of plumbing fixtures that I've had really good success with, especially with their low flow fixtures. And I think it's because they put the time in to re-engineer everything.
I think it's about pressure. If you're getting good water pressure, that's what people want.
Yeah, you got to have the pressure. So, but you're right. There's so much that goes into it, and people think it's such a simple decision, and it's not.
Yeah, that's right.
So many factors that go into that.
Something that we're seeing a real trend in new technology are what's called smart meters. And these are, again, not services that we offer, but people we look to partner with. And they're putting smart meters on every single fixture. So these meters will measure the water usage out of a shower head versus a sink versus a toilet. And with a Wi-Fi signaling, can then notify the landlord as to what the water usage is from each and every fixture in each and every unit in their building. So if someone has left a shower running all day, they can detect that through the data and actually get into the unit and shut the shower off.
Wow.
That's smart.
That is. So are you seeing that same technology trickle down to like individual single family homes, or is it really just multifamily right now?
It certainly could be implemented with single family homes as well. Right now that technology is expensive. The hardware is expensive, and the software to drive it and the Wi-Fi signaling is expensive. And so not a lot of people have installed these kinds of systems. The product type that seems most interested are the hotels, and that makes sense.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. But I think at the right price point, there's no reason why this wouldn't also be installed in single family homes. Makes all the sense in the world.
Well, and as prices come down and the technology gets smaller and quicker, which it has very quickly, that will be, I'm sure. And I work, my co-host who does some of the podcasts with me works in smart home and controlled homes. Technology. And oh my gosh, some of the stuff that they've got coming in, it's just fascinating. And they're doing some pretty amazing things with it. And I think it's just going to keep on coming. Jetsons, here we come.
You know, one thing I found really interesting working in this space is I would have ventured a guess as to what utility people cared the most about in terms of getting more efficient, in terms of catching leaks. And I would have guessed it was oil or gas, you know, what's heating your unit. Mm-hmm. But really the overriding focus for these customers all over the country is water. And where water is scarce, like California, they're obsessed with it. Yeah. Where pipes are old and cracked and leaking, the story of the pond at the bottom of the hill, you know, that's the Northeast with the older infrastructure. They're obsessed with it as well. You're seeing water rates climbing by 3% a year, which is not nothing. I don't think that's going to be dropping anytime soon. So it's getting more expensive as a resource as well. And everybody really seems very focused on their water usage right now. And that was a bit of a surprise.
We can't live without it. So that makes sense. I mean, we can live without electricity if we have to, but we can't live without water.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the other thing that's interesting about that is the number one cause of buildings being damaged in the world is water.
That's right.
Whether it be liquid water or vapor water or ice, but water, you're right. Water plays a big role.
But I'll tell you what gets everyone's attention is the dollars.
Yeah.
So I could ask you what you pay per gallon to fill up your car where you live in Oklahoma, and you would probably know to the nickel what you're paying for gas. And if I asked you what you were paying for water for a family of four over the course of a month, you would have no idea what you're spending.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that's hard about that is most of our bills come combined. So my water, sewer, and trash is one bill.
Yep.
And we pay our bills electronically now, so we don't see the breakouts. And I'll think a lot of people are in that same position now.
That's a good point. And where I live in the Northeast, we don't have sewers.
Ah.
We have leaching fields, and so we don't pay sewer bills.
Okay.
And so everyone's really got their own sewer septic system on their own property. That's how Massachusetts does it in a lot of places.
Is there a tool that individuals can use to track their own usage in their own homes?
Yes, absolutely. We have offered a service at no charge at WeGoWise for people to plug in their own homes if they want to input their own data. That service we've offered since inception.
Okay. I'll have to go give it a go. I'll have to go dig all the utilities up.
Just look us up at WeGoWise.com and look for WeGo Home, and you'll see that you have the capability of setting up your own house and tracking it for free.
Okay. I will take the commitment to go find our bills over the next few days and to give it a shot. Yep. It'll be interesting to track our own. Because one of the things when we looked at buying this home, we looked at a new spec home that has an energy efficient rating versus a 10, 11-year-old home that was a little bit bigger. It was going to cost less money to buy. And our monthly costs, we calculated, were actually a little bit less to buy the more expensive, newer home. And a lot of that was because of our utilities and our operating costs.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to test and make sure my theory is holding true. So there we go. Yeah. So challenged. I'll take it. Well, I have just really enjoyed learning more about WeGoWise today. And I'm really excited that you guys are offering this service because there are so many multifamily buildings in the country and they are such a big impact. So we thank you for offering this service. Is there any other information that we should leave for our listeners besides checking out your website?
I think it's all about awareness that that utility usage, it's not only is an expense that's hitting your own wallet, but these are scarce resources. You said it earlier about water. Mm-hmm. They're not making any more water. And we really want to be more cost efficient. It's just, energy and water usage efficient. It's
the right cost efficient too.
And cost efficient. But you really want... You want to walk the walk. If you really believe in a sustainable planet, you want to walk that walk and you want to know what you're consuming and you want to be efficient about it. I love the fact that WeGoWise has made a business of this, and we've helped people get smarter and more aware about this and help them save money in the process. And what's wrong with a business that does that?
I think it's a great idea. We're very glad to have y'all around, and we're just super excited to be able to share your story on the Green Gab. So,
well, thank you, Marla. It's a real pleasure joining you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And with that, listeners, we're going to be tuning out, but definitely check out the show notes and we will post the resources that we talked about, and check out WeGo Home if you want to try it in your own home. I assume that works for a unit or home, any place where you're tracking your own usage of your utilities. With that, we'll wrap it up on the Green Gab. Thanks again, Wister.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Green Gab Podcast. And for joining us on our own personal green odyssey as we change the world one Green Gab podcast at a time. What did you learn about during this episode? Tell us now by visiting our website at greengabpodcast.com. And remember to connect with us via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. Links to do all of this are at our website, greengabpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, but more importantly, thanks for rocking it in green.